But right now, as we begin the program, I'd like to welcome attorney Ira J. Kurzban, a partner in the law firm of Kurzban, Kurzban, Winger, Ditzelli, and Pratt. He represents former Haitian President Jean-Bertrand Aristide, now living in exile in South Africa, and has litigated many cases under the Alien Tort Claims Act, where he obtained a $500 million judgment against former Haitian dictator Jean-Claude Duvalier, who unexpectedly traveled to Haiti from France last week. Attorney Kurzban, thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you. My pleasure.
As we begin here, certainly the question is as to why Duvalier has returned to Haiti at this moment is on everybody's mind. But before we get there, maybe a review for our audience that may not be aware of the reign of terror of Haitian dictator Baby Doc Duvalier, as he was known, from 1971 to 1986.
Well, it really started with his father, Papa Doc Duvalier, in 1957. What he did is systematically destroy most Haitian institutions or basically bend them to his will, including the church in Haiti, basically minimize the army in Haiti and establish his own paramilitary organization and death squads that were called the Tantan Makut, or Volunteers for National Service, the VSN, with the initials in French. And Papa Doc ruled in a very ruthless way. He died in 1971, and his son became president for life in 1971 at the age of 19. And almost like something you would see out of, you know, the 15th century or 12th century kings. You know, one was passed to the other. He was made president for life, and basically the court around him were the people who ruled, his mother, other people in the members of the VSN, and even some of the military people, such as Prosper Avril at the time. And from 1971 until he left on February 7th, 1986, there was a reign of terror in Haiti. There were summary executions. There was the famous Fort de Manche, which was known as the prison where once you went in, you would never come out, where torture took place, summary executions, degrading and inhumane treatment. And you basically had a population that was terrorized. And even today, it's quite interesting with Duvalier back, there isn't one major Haitian politician who has stood up and said he should be prosecuted. And I believe that's virtually due to the fear that most of the politicians fear of the Duvaliers, and the fear that Duvalier and Duvalierism instills even today in the Haitian population. He basically used Haiti. At one point, someone described it as a kleptocracy. That is, they not only executed people at whim and tortured them, but they basically used Haiti as their own personal bank. And what we did in getting a judgment against Jean-Claude Duvalier and his wife, then-wife Michelle Bennett, was to use the accounting that was done after Duvalier fled Haiti on February 7th, 86. There was a substantial accounting done of the money that he had taken from 1980 alone to 1986, just in that short period of time. It was over $500 million. And he and Michelle Bennett used all kinds of artifice and phony foundations. For example, she had a foundation for the benefit of children where the government and others gave millions of dollars, and she just took that money, took it out of the country in cash and deposited it in places like the Bank of New York, and did other things such as buy luxury yachts and so forth. So that's what their reign was really all about. It was about using the the country's little wealth that it had for their own personal use, and maintaining a aura of terror in the country, which I think to some extent still pervades today by his return.
Thank you for that, Ira Kurzban, and for your work on these important cases relating to Haiti and its wealth stolen by Baby Doc Duvalier. As to the question everybody's asking, why do you think Jean-Claude Duvalier has returned to Haiti? There has been some speculation that he's trying to unfreeze these bank accounts by challenging the Haitian government to prosecute him and thereby, through some loophole, be able to release some money from frozen bank accounts in Switzerland and elsewhere.
Well, I think that's part of it, but let me first talk about what is not being talked about in the press. There is no way that Jean-Claude Duvalier would have come back to Haiti unless he got the green light from both U.S. intelligence and French intelligence. And I believe he did that. And the probably clearest sign that he did it with U.S. intelligence is that the person who is the head of his security is someone named Jodel Chamblain. Chamblain was the head of a death squad that was set up in 1993 after the first coup against President Aristide. And there were detailed reports in Nation magazine, other magazines in the United States, that he and his co-founder, who was someone named Emmanuel Constant, were working for both the Defense Intelligence Agency and the Central Intelligence Agency. When Aristide came back in 1994, Chamblain disappeared. He reappeared in 2003 as the head of the so-called rebel army with Guy Philippe, which really was about 100 people who were well-organized, well-financed, and well-equipped, who were the people who came into Haiti and created the basis for the United States to ask Aristide to leave the country, and eventually, according to Aristide, kidnapped him and took him out of the country. And Chamblain, marches triumphantly into Port-au-Prince in February, at the beginning of March of 2004, after Aristide is kidnapped and taken out of the country, and then he disappears again. He reappears last week when Baby Doc came back to Haiti as the head of his security. So to me, that's certainly a indication that American intelligence is involved in this operation involving Baby Doc. Well, what does that mean? It really has two parts. The first part is what you alluded to, which is I think Baby Doc came back. He really has little to lose. He doesn't have any money. The money that he stole from the people of Haiti, he spent, and his wife, then-wife Michelle Bennett, and others around them spent even faster. And it was rumored, and I think the rumors were probably true, that he really didn't have very much money in France. I have some knowledge about the circumstances because I sought to enforce the $500 million judgment we had in the Swiss courts, and Duvalier's lawyers were fighting to keep that money. And then the Haitian government came in and sought the money as well. Duvalier then shows up in Port-au-Prince, and eventually I think the press gets around to figuring out that one of the reasons why he showed up was, as you were alluding to, that there was a loophole in the law. And what happened in Switzerland was that he sought the $6 million, and the Swiss government froze the money. A court in Switzerland reversed that freeze and was going to give the money to Duvalier, and then the Swiss state, the Swiss legislature, passed a special law that goes into effect at the beginning of February. That is a law that essentially says for persons like Duvalier and others, Mobutu and others who have taken money from their countries, Marcos in the Philippines and so forth, a law was, in some cases the money was returned, but in certain circumstances where the institutions, the judicial institutions in the country where the money was stolen, were weak and therefore unable to prosecute. The Swiss established this law that goes into effect at the beginning of February that says, in effect, if a country where money has been taken illegally, as was the case here, is unable to prosecute the individual either because he's out of the country or because the institutions in the country are weak, then we, the Swiss nation, will return that money to that country, even if they haven't actually ultimately and finally criminally prosecuted the individual. Duvalier shows up in Haiti to establish that he's there. He was going to leave 3 days later to then go back to Switzerland and say, I went to Haiti, they did not prosecute me, and therefore you have to turn the money over to me, even under the new Swiss law that's coming into effect in February. So that was the gambit, I think, that Duvalier took. He took it with the assurances of both the French and U.S. intelligence services that no harm would come to him and that he ultimately wouldn't be prosecuted. But I think the intelligence community has a different reason for him to be there. He has never been accused of being the brightest person in the world, and I think he's probably being used as much as he's trying to get back this money. And I think what they're really trying to do is reestablish Duvalierism and Duvalierist politics in Haiti, which means death squads, Tantan Macoutes, you know, where you have a very strong right-wing takeover of the country. The two candidates who now the U.S. government is pushing hard to have a runoff with, Martelly, and always has had strong ties to the Haitian military that overthrew Aristide and to the Duvaliers. So there's a real possibility he might win this election if it's a runoff between him and Mrs. Manigat, who also represents right-wing politics in Haiti. So this is an effort, I believe, to really kind of solidify the right-wing politics in Haiti. Not so much to have Duvalier run again, because I don't think that's realistic and likely to happen, but to create the ambience, if you will, the political groundwork to allow this to occur. And to me, it's no mistake that you had people like Barb Barr, a former right-wing conservative congressman from Georgia, there this week, you know, serving as Duvalier's PR flack, and the appearance of Jodel Chamblain as his security. So I think these are all signs of a much larger project by both the U.S. and French intelligence services.
Thank you for that, Ira. And what is the Haitian state now doing, if anything, to gather whatever legal documents they need to prosecute baby Doc Duvalier? Is there any prospect that he will be pulled into a court and charged?
Oh, I think there's a very, very good prospect that that will occur. The process in Haiti is that you have first an investigative magistrate make a determination, in effect, that there's probable cause to have the person detained and tried. And that's what's going on in Haiti right now. Duvalier has been told not to leave the country. They are doing an investigation of him right now. There is, I believe, substantial documentation. The claim of his lawyers is that the statute of limitations has run, meaning that they can't charge him anymore because it happened so long ago. But there is no statute of limitations on human rights violations, the kind of international human rights violations that they have alleged he's engaged in, including summary execution, torture, and inhumane and degrading treatment. And whether he did it directly, whether he ordered it, he was still responsible under what we call a command and control theory, that he as the dictator of Haiti from 1971 to 1986, had complete control over the country and the military and so forth, and the VSN, the Tantan Makut, and therefore he is ultimately responsible for the acts that occurred. And I think that's the key to where the prosecution is going against Duvalier.
And any prospect that you will be able to re-engage in litigation to recover the $500 million that you won a judgment for years ago?
Well, I don't know if we'll ever really recover it. Most of the, first of all, I don't think there's any money out there except the $6 million in the Swiss bank accounts, and the Haitian government is anxious to get that. When we brought the suit, it was brought on behalf of two individuals, one of whom is still alive, the other, unfortunately, Father Gerard Jean-Just, is no longer alive. And their judgments were for about $2 million. The remainder of the judgment was really brought on the on behalf of the Haitian people, and we sought at that time to develop a plan for development, in other words, to try and use that money for development. Because at the time, 1988, the government was still not a democratically elected government. It was a government run by the former generals who were part of the Duvalier government. And so now that there is a government and a functioning government under Préval, I mean, we would work with them to try and make sure that the money is recovered for the benefit of the Haitian people.
We're speaking tonight with Ira J. Kurzban, who represents former Haitian President Jean-Bertrand Aristide, now living in exile in South Africa, and as we've just been talking about, had a role in prosecuting a case that would hope to recover money from this dictator now come back to Haiti, Jean-Claude Baby Doc Duvalier. Attorney Kurzban, as former President Jean-Bertrand Aristide's attorney, and someone I'm sure you've been talking to in recent days, what are his intentions with regard to public announcements that he's made about his desire to come back to Haiti, given the events with Duvalier's return?
Well, President Aristide, as you know, said that he was kidnapped, and there's, I think, substantial evidence that that is so, was kidnapped by the United States government, taken out of the country, taken to the Central African Republic. We successfully got him out of there. I think he would have been killed if he remained there. We got him out and his American citizen wife out of the country, and brought him to Jamaica, where the United States government proceeded to put enormous pressure on the Jamaican government to force him out of the Western Hemisphere. He then wound up, due to the assistance of the South African government, in South Africa. But since 2004, President Aristide has sought to return to Haiti. He's made a number of public statements. He made a very strong statement after the earthquake last year, asking to return to Haiti and saying that he was ready, willing, and able to help. And he made a similar statement this past week, seeking to return to Haiti as quickly as possible. There are two stumbling blocks. One is he does not have a diplomatic Haitian passport. His passport expired, and he's called upon the Haitian government to provide him that passport, which they can easily do if they wanted to. The second is that he needs the cooperation and assistance of the South African government to leave that country and to go back to Haiti. There were WikiLeaks reports in the last several weeks on the U.S. government's role in keeping him in South Africa. Some of those were from the previous administration under Bush and Condoleezza Rice pressuring the Brazilians, who are running the military operation in Haiti, to make sure and in effect pressure the South African government to keep Aristide in South Africa. And it was interesting this week what the State Department had to say about Aristide's return. In regard to Duvalier, they said, well, that's a matter for the Haitian government and the Haitian people to decide with respect to his prosecution. But when it came to Aristide, they were quite adamant in saying, the State Department spokesman said, we don't think that it's a good idea for Aristide to come back. And he declined to answer questions whether they continued to pressure the South African government to keep Aristide in South Africa. So I think that, you know, what's really going on here is, for those people who are interested in seeing the democratically elected president of Haiti return to his country, we need to look to the United States and South Africa to see if they would assist in having that happen. You know, it's unfair to kind of compare him to Duvalier. Duvalier was a brutal dictator for many years in Haiti, and Aristide was the twice democratically elected president. You know, there is no kind of relationship between the two. Aristide was not involved in the kinds of executions and human rights violations that have been charged repeatedly and are well known with regard to Duvalier. So, you know, this idea of kind of almost equating them is really very, very far-fetched. But Aristide has asked to come back. He's wanted to come back since 2004. He has said that he doesn't want to come back to run for president. He wants to come back as a private citizen. He has a Ph.D. in psychology, a Ph.D. now in African languages since he's been in South Africa. He wants to come back and work in the field of education.
Well, we can only hope that some common sense resides in the Obama administration to not favor the return of a dictator and do their best underhandedly, it seems, to bar Aristide from returning to Haiti. It's shameful if all this is playing out.
It's kind of distressing that this administration, especially where one had hopes that there would be a change in foreign policy, is really towing the same line as the Bush administration as far as Haiti is concerned.
Very depressing stuff. Ira Kurzban, thanks for all your work. We're out of time. I'd love to talk to you again as this this issue unfolds for us in Haiti and elsewhere. So thanks for spending time with us tonight, and if it's all right, we'll call upon you again.
Okay, thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Okay. Bye-bye. That was Ira J. Kurzban. He is the attorney representing Jean-Bertrand Aristide, telling us about the situation in Haiti as regards to the funds that Attorney Kurzban had a role in attempting to recover some years ago, $500 million stolen from Haiti when baby doc Jean-Claude Duvalier was overthrown in 1986 and fled into exile in France. Now back in Haiti, we have this current story, and unfortunately, the discussion we just had about the U.S. State Department and the Obama administration's role in trying to continue to keep twice ousted President Jean-Bertrand Aristide out of Haiti. Stuff that you can't even make up. Sad.